So you mentioned this new data that just was presented in Chicago at the ASCO meeting, and there's always been this question of, okay, you have your genomic assay, but suppose you have a big tumor, high grade, you know, clinical factors. And this is really the most, it was so fascinating, the data that was presented on these intermediate risk patients. Can you talk about what was presented and what you think it means?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically what TAILORx did is it took a range of patients with a range of prognostic factors and randomized them to an intervention. MINDAC took a clinical profile, clinical risk profile, and randomized it against a genomic profile when there was discordance. So they were doing very, very different things. But a lot of the output from the MINDAC study, really because their primary endpoint was in that clinical high risk, low genomic risk group, that was their primary endpoint. There's been this question that we've had about, well, if we used their tools for assigning clinical risk and then looked at our data, could we improve the performance, in a sense, of the Oncotype DX recurrence score? And the short answer is, yeah, we think we did, as you said, in the intermediate risk group. What it shows basically, and it's a very simple risk system that you just basically the grade and the tumor size, you know, you assign clinical high risk or low risk. And in the women under 50 who have the intermediate range scores, particularly those who are 16 through 20, and 21 through 25, if you break those groups up into two subsets by their clinical risk, you see differential apparent benefits from chemotherapy. In the group 16 to 20, where when overall you see, well, maybe there's a absolute percentage point or two improvement, what you see is that when you split it into the two groups, the group who is a score of 16 to 20 and is low clinical risk does well. They have like a 95% distant recurrence-free interval. Chemo does nothing. If they have high risk, then there's actually about a 6% delta between how they do with endocrine therapy. They have about an 89%. With chemo, it goes up to about 95%. So it looks like that group of 16 to 20 who has high clinical risk is benefiting from chemo. Again, with the caveat that is it the chemo or is it the ovarian suppression? And I think in the clinic, you have to have that discussion with the patient. We need to do chemotherapy. If you just don't want to do chemotherapy, then we really should do ovarian suppression is kind of how I talk about it, particularly in that group. If you go up to that next group, where you have the higher scores, 21 to 25, you see there the women appear to benefit from chemotherapy irrespective of their clinical risk, though not surprisingly, the high-risk patients have about an 8% delta, and the low-risk patients have about a 6% delta. So for me, that's the same discussion with a patient. You know, that's where we do want to take advantage of that. If we do it with chemo versus doing it with endocrine therapy and ovarian suppression, that's where the lengthy discussions have to take place. And again, I personally don't see how we're ever going to do a randomized study to answer that. I think we've got the data. We just have to individualize patient care with the information we have at this point.
But just to be clear, when you talk about these patients benefiting from chemotherapy, that's the premenopausal patients. What about the post?
Yes, these are the correct. Yeah, these absolutely. Yeah, oh yeah. Everything I've said is in the women under 50, majority of whom were premenopausal. Yeah.
But just to be clear, then we already know that in general, postmenopausal women with intermediate scores don't benefit from chemotherapy. What it seemed like in this new data set is they said, even on top of that, not only do the intermediates not benefit, but even the intermediates that are at high risk. And the key number I saw there was 3 centimeters, for example, in terms of tumor size. So still, in the postmenopausal woman with the intermediate score, even if the tumor is greater than 3 centimeters, it looked like they didn't benefit from chemo. Was I reading that correctly?
Right, yeah. I mean, there's always the caveat that, you know, in the studies, the percentage of patients that entered TAILORx who had high risk was only about 30%, and you got there with no negative disease. So it's a little bit, you know, there is a point where as you get higher and higher, there's a little bit less certainty about it, but it's consistent. You know, it's basically their risk is higher for recurrence, but they just don't benefit from chemotherapy. And that still remains the, fundamentally, that's the most important decision we have to make in our ER-positive early breast cancer patients.